This morning's scripture reading is taken from Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 to 11. I would invite you, if you would like, to turn with me. I'll be reading from the English Standard Version. Matthew 21, verses 1 to 11, and this is the triumphal entry. That's hard to read. That's my fault. Now, when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethphage, to the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them at once." This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, "Say to the daughter of Zion, 'Behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden.'" The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put on them their cloaks, and he sat on them. Most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the ground, on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." And when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up, saying, "Who is this?" And the crowd said, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now, as we gather today for Palm Sunday, we recognize that this marks the beginning of Holy Week. And so may this coming week be a week in which you are able to find more space for Christ as you reflect and look towards, as we look towards Good Friday and Easter. But Palm Sunday is a day of celebration. It is the triumphal entry of Jesus into the city of Jerusalem. And when you hear the word triumphant, you think of something that is positive, something that is good, something that is worth celebrating. It points to a triumph. It points to a victory. Now, if you were here last week, we talked about Jesus and the last of his four messianic miracles. I mentioned the book Understanding Jesus, written by author Joe Amaral, and he talks about Palm Sunday and says that there is a deeper significance of what we just see on the surface here, because there is a main question that he asks about this event for Palm Sunday. As we look at Jesus coming on a donkey and a colt and entering into the city of Jerusalem, the one question that this author, Joe Amaral, if you want to read this book, I have a copy, so let me know. It's a fascinating book. He wants to know, you know, all the people who are spreading the cloaks on the ground and waving their branches, first of all, where did all these people come from? Why were they all there in the first place? How is it that such a large crowd had gathered? Did they line up like it was some kind of a concert, knowing that Jesus would be coming? Well, this is how Amaral explains it. He explains that the triumphal entry was an event that takes place 4 days before the Passover. You might recall, or you might know, that the Passover festival was and continues to be the festival in which the Jewish people remember how God liberated and set apart the Hebrew people from Egypt so that they would be set aside to be his people. It is arguably one of their most significant celebrations. And during the celebration, the first century Jewish people would stand at the eastern gate of the city of Jerusalem to get a glimpse of the high priest who had 4 days before the Passover would bring in a lamb from Bethlehem, a lamb that was set apart that was meant to be without blemish, to be sacrificed as part of the feast celebration. It was an act of worship, of remembrance, and of thanksgiving for what God had already done. And so the Jewish people, many of whom would come as pilgrims from surrounding areas, would gather with palm branches as the high priest led this lamb into the city, saying, "Hosanna to the Lamb of God who has come to take away our sins." So this is the cultural context of what was happening. And it is at this point in time where Jesus comes and enters the city gates, welcomed by the people, whom have probably by now undoubtedly heard, at least people were starting to hear, that Jesus has done all four of the messianic miracles. First, the healing of the man born blind. Second, the healing of a leper. The casting out of a mute demon. And as we saw last week, the raising of Lazarus, a man from the dead, even though it had been longer than 3 days. He had done all four messianic miracles, which I just mentioned, and he was now being welcomed into the city now as the Messiah. All these people were waving their palms and throwing their cloaks to the ground, singing and shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven." They were singing this about Jesus, saying this about Jesus, shouting to him, not knowing fully what was truly about to happen over the next few days. You see, after hearing that Jesus had done the messianic miracles, the Jewish people were already waiting for, looking for a Messiah. And they saw Jesus, and if they understood him to be the Messiah, then they began to think that he would be the new king, a new king to come to save them. Hosanna. But save them from what? For them, it would have been the oppression of their enemies. It would have been to come in to overturn the Roman Empire, who because for hundreds of years, the Jewish people were living in exile. They were kicked out from their homes. They were refugees. There was a so-called 400 years of silence after the end of the Old Testament, where there was seemingly no message or word from God. And here, generations into the Roman Empire, having been oppressed for years and years, this marginalized people have finally heard this good news that the proverbial, literally the proverbial prophesied Messiah was here. With the arrival of this Messiah, there was an excitement. They were expecting a national deliverer, the Son of David, Son of Man, Son of God, the Messiah. This Jesus was coming into the city of David. This must mean something. He must be coming, certainly, to reestablish the Davidic kingdom when all things were good. This is what people have been waiting for generations. Imagine what they are thinking. They're thinking in their minds, it's happening. It's going to be happening in my lifetime, right now. In Matthew, Mark, and John, all have the people crying out, "Hosanna." They saw him coming from the Mount of Olives, which is where Jesus had done many of his miracles. And these people had witnessed it. And so they were beginning to think, maybe this prophet, maybe this guy, maybe he is, you know, the Messiah. Maybe he has what it takes. People have been waiting for this. "Hosanna, Hosanna, save us, O Lord. Save us from all of this pain, from this poverty, from this oppression, from this homelessness where we have no nation. Restore us into this great nation once again, your great nation. Save us from our enemies." And to borrow a bit of an outdated phrase, "Let's make Jerusalem great again." I didn't think that would be that funny. But they didn't see this connection. They didn't see the irony of what was truly happening. That Christ of all days would choose to enter into the city by the eastern gate, the same gate that the lamb used for the Passover sacrifice would enter. He would be the Lamb of God. He would be the unblemished, perfect, without defect, without sin. Lamb of God, to be sacrificed for their sins. Other than the disciples, very few of them would have fathomed the kind of Messiah he would be. And even though Jesus told his disciples time and time again, the disciples were probably struggling a little bit with what Jesus really meant as well. The Jewish people, the Hebrew people, in their desire to be liberated were wrong. Because despite all that they desired Jesus to be, despite the fact that they were so desperately wanting to be saved, despite the fact that they sang and shouted at the top of their lungs, "Hosanna, Hosanna, save us, Lord," Jesus did, as he is so often prone to do, not what they had expected. Hosanna. the Hebrew word for that literally means save us now. They were saying this in a Roman-occupied place. Non-Jewish speakers were everywhere in the city because it was a big city, and they were wondering what was going on. What were they saying? What does this Hosanna mean? As Jesus entered the city, the Romans, the officials, and the soldiers probably were curious as to what is causing this stir. They might have started getting a little bit anxious as well. Who is this, they ask. This question came from the people who did not know about the Messiah, who did not know about Jesus. It would certainly have caused a bit of a panic in the city, a Roman-occupied city whose allegiance was to Caesar alone. Who is this that enters being called a prophet, a savior, and a king? It has been said that this would have been a high-pressure situation for Jesus. This could have been seen as an act of treason and rebellion against the empire. The Romans did not like this. The Pharisees, who refused to believe Jesus was the Messiah, were not happy. Things were tense. But it did not stop there. The Holy Week is filled with events. On Monday, Jesus overturns the tables in the temple. Tuesday, he speaks and responds to the accusation and questions of the Pharisees. Wednesday, the Sanhedrin, the Jewish heads, begin speaking of how to get rid of Jesus. Thursday, the Passover meal, the Lord's Supper, and his betrayal and arrest. And Friday, his crucifixion. What began in the eyes of the people as this triumphal entry seemingly goes in the wrong direction. See, the people were expecting the Messiah to come in a show of power and glory, but Jesus comes in on a donkey. It is said that when a king enters a place on a horse, it is often to declare war. But when he enters on a donkey, it is a declaration of peace. Nothing about what Jesus was doing seemed to fit with the expectations of the people. The Jewish people, they were wrong about the kind of king and savior Jesus would be. But they did get something right. Their need for a Messiah. They understood that they needed to be saved, that they needed a savior, that only the Messiah could save them, and that they could not do it themselves. That the people of God could do nothing, could not be free, could not be liberated apart from a miraculous work of God. This was what Passover was all about. For generations and generations, that was the story that they reminded themselves that we were once slaves and it was God who brought us out of Egypt. It is God that saves. But it wasn't what was expected. It didn't play out like the people wanted it to. It wasn't Jesus coming to do everything that we wanted or thought was good. It was not Jesus who would come to overturn the Roman Empire or restore the Davidic kingdom to its former glory as the Jewish people understood it. This was the humility of the Christ. Jesus went to Jerusalem to be captured. And on the worst day of history, he was going there to die. He came and humbled and humiliated himself. He would come to put himself in the position receiving the greatest act of violence, to end violence, to end brokenness, to end the need for sacrifice even, to end oppression once and for all. He came not for the individuals or the nations or for some political agendas. He came to do something greater, to redeem all of humanity from their sin and from death, a fate far worse than oppression by a nation or empire. Though after Good Friday, the people were filled with defeat and disappointment, it was on Sunday when they realized that this entry into the city of Jerusalem was indeed a triumphal one. It was a victorious one. And so we, who know the story, have every reason to celebrate and worship him for his triumphal entry. Because Jesus was, is, and always will be triumphant. Jesus was, is, and always will be victorious. Jesus' entry into the city of Jerusalem was as the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God to be sacrificed through the new covenant sealed in his spilt blood, who would and has taken away our sin and our iniquities, who would by his death satisfy the holy, loving wrath of God towards sinners and death. And so as we enter then into this Holy Week, may we be reminded of the victory we have in Jesus, my Savior forever. Our triumphant and victorious Savior. May this Holy Week be a time where we might even desire more deeply to be, in fact, like Christ. Humble, holy, to indeed seek to live righteously and obediently to the will of God, as modeled by us, by Jesus, who in his triumphal entry allowed himself to be led to death. That we desire to be filled with his Spirit and with his word. You know, John Piper says, the sign of whether you are indwelt by the Spirit is not that you have no bad desires, but that you are at war with them. Again, the sign of whether you are indwelt by the Spirit is not that you have no bad desires, but that you are at war with them. When Jesus walked into the city, he did not declare war against the Roman Empire or any other physical powers before them. He was declaring war against the forces of sin and evil and death. And in his death and resurrection, he claimed a victory for you and for me. As we worship the Lord for his saving grace, may our hearts and lips sing out Hosanna. The word invites us, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Lo, your king comes to you. Triumphant and victorious is he, humble and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. As we reflect this day on the triumphal entry and the coming victory of Christ that belongs to us today, may we lift up his name, be humbled and drawn to a spirit of repentance and conviction as we seek to give him thanks, but also seek to be more like him every single day. Amen.